Hello, my name is Greg Johnson. My family and I are missionaries in Central Asia. I'm recording this today in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, and we want to wish all of you at Albertville First Baptist Church a wonderful missionary conference. We enjoyed thoroughly last year being able to be with you, all of the activities, and getting to meet many of you and getting to know you better. You've been such a blessing to us over the last year. You've been such an encouragement to our family, and we appreciate you. We appreciate your compassion and your love to us and to the lost around the world. We appreciate your burden for Central Asia. Last year, the Albertville First Baptist Church adopted a church plant here in Central Asia, specifically in the city of Osh, Kyrgyzstan. Osh is the second largest city in Kyrgyzstan, and it's considered the most Islamic, the most Muslim city in Central Asia. It's located in the Ferganá Valley, which is an area that we prayed for over 20 years. And we were never able to penetrate with the gospel into that valley until about 2 years ago. And the Lord has blessed the church plant there. It's grown from around 4 people in the beginning to now over 16 people that regularly attend and have trusted Christ. And we appreciate your involvement. Your financial support enables us to rent an apartment in the city of Osh. In that apartment, is where the church plant actually meets, and also where the evangelists live when they visit. Once a month, we send from Bishkek, Brother Kuruchbek. He goes and spends a week in Osh, and then later in the month, Brother Altenbek goes and spends a week in Osh, and they conduct services daily while they're there. The people are very excited about studying the Bible. Their only complaint to us is, we want someone here permanently. We want to study the Bible every day, not just 2 weeks a month. I was there 2 days ago, and I shared with the people that there is a church in America that has a burden for them and for their city, and that is praying for them. And they wanted to send greetings to you, and so I've recorded some of those. We'll play those in just a moment. We're on top of what's called Solomon's Mountain. This is one of the holiest places to Muslims in this part of the world. During communist times, when Muslims were not allowed to make the pilgrimage to Mecca, they came to this mountain. This has been a holy place for over 1,000 years. Over to my right here, you can see one of the largest mosques in Central Asia. And down in front of it, you can see the cemetery. The city cemetery, or the old cemetery. Osh is a city of over 200,000 people. It is the second largest city in Kyrgyzstan. Over 2 years ago, the Lord allowed us to start a church plant here in this town. And 1 year ago, the Albertville First Baptist Church adopted that church plant as their project. So your investment is planting a church in this city, the heart of Islam in this part of the world. I am very thankful to you that you pray for us and that you care about us. We need more spiritual food. I thank the Lord for you, and I pray for you. I intercede to the Lord for all of you. It is wonderful to know Jesus. It's really wonderful. Jesus took all my sins away. I know it. Thanks to you, and thank you to Jesus. I believe in the living God and that he gave his life and died for me. I am thankful to Brother Greg, Almaz, Kuruçbek, and Altınbek for teaching the truth. I thank the Lord that he gave us this group of brothers and sisters to worship him here. May God be praised for ages to come. My name is Hadisha. I thank the Lord for all of you and who pray for us and for our city. I pray for you.
Дух Святой показывает Иисуса.
И круг Исана Горгосода.
Посмотри на крест.
Исана Горгосода, кажется.
А люди говорят, да я знаю, Христос умер.
Да, мен билем, Исана Горгосода.
Но я должен что-то делать.
Но мен бир иш кылышым керек, Кудай алдында деп.
Они не верят.
Алар ишенбейт.
Написано,
посмотри. Жасылып тура.
You know, a few days ago I sat around the table during the service there in Osh, and I was looking at the faces around that table. And so much sacrifice, so much suffering in the lives of those people for the sake of the gospel. And I thought how much I wish that you, the people of Albertville First Baptist Church, could sit in that service and could meet these people. They're such a blessing. But you know, one day you will meet them. You will meet them in heaven. And your right now, your faith and your compassion is bearing eternal fruit in a city on the other side of the world. And I think that is a wonderful thing. We appreciate you. We appreciate your tender hearts. And that the people there were blessed to hear about you. And I hope that you've been blessed to hear about them. Thank you.
You know, I see that video. And we could look at many others around the world. And I see, and then I read in the scripture what it says of the early church. And then I look at how we do church in Western the world, in America, and think, honestly, what are we doing? That sometimes we miss what is important. It is about making disciples. You see it being lived out there, Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayers. It's exactly what that church is. They may not have all of the resources that we would have, but they have the resource. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the Word of God. And so I want to thank you for partnering with the Johnsons in Kyrgyzstan. We will continue our partnership. Last year on this day, we had a number of people who said, I will support 1 month of the work there. It's $600 a month to provide for the renting of the safe facility that's quiet for them to meet in, to provide the travel for the two that are going to do that. And so it's not a very expensive undertaking. So I'm praying today that there'll be 12 people who will say, I'll provide 1 month. I will do $600 of that. And if that's the case and you want to do it, you find a way to mark that somehow on one of the registrations in the pew in front of you, or you let one of us know, say, I'll cover a month, or just write a check to the church for $600 and put that it's for that, and we'll take care of that. We want to fund what's happening there. But I want to pray for the Johnsons as they are there. Let's pray now. Father God, thank you for the opportunity we have to pray and to partner with friends like the Johnsons. I thank you for the beauty of the gospel in other tongues. Forgive us if we somehow think that it's all about us. It is not. Father, I thank you that you are the God of all peoples. And so, Father, I pray that many more of the Kyrgyz people will come to know you. I pray that many more people in Osh who have never heard the gospel will willingly receive it, and that the gospel will penetrate hearts and draw men and women to you. Father, I thank you for truth. I thank you for our friends who are willing to go. I thank you for the fact that we want the gospel to be proclaimed in Kyrgyzstan, but we also want it to be proclaimed in Albertville. So we'll celebrate local ministry now. In Jesus' name, amen.
So whether it's in Central Asia or whether it's right here in Northeast Alabama, God is at work. And we have several mission partners that are doing awesome things just in our local area. So I want to welcome up Leslie and Linda Henry. If you don't know, they run the Marshall Christian Services, which includes Christian Women's Job Corps. Just in a couple towns over, there's Christian Men's Job Corps. They have the Second Chance Food Pantry, which is housed at our Cahill Ministry facility. And God is doing awesome things as they share the gospel and they make disciples just in our local area. So let me ask you ladies a couple questions. If you don't know, this is mom and daughter. You wanted me to say sisters, right? Oh, she wanted me to say that. Okay. So, Linda, let's start with you as the boss of your daughter. How many families are you currently, your best estimation, you're currently providing food for each month?
At least 850 right now.
That's different families from our area.
Families from this area. December was exceptional, and we saw 1,013 families in December.
That's amazing. Leslie, I know you work with the ladies in Christian Women's Job Corps specifically. Can you maybe give us one quick success story of things that have happened, or maybe the story of a young lady? I know we just had graduation just a couple months ago here. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have two ladies that are only like one part of the GED to pass the GED test. So that's a praise report.
That's awesome.
We have one that passed her GED, and she is working at the United States Postal Service now. Oh, yeah. Well, Amanda. But that's one of our participants that came to us with no hope of ever having a good job. And she does.
And these are ladies that come out of very difficult situations, various situations, but Christian Women Job Corps is not only instilling those Christian principles, but work principles, counseling principles, all kinds of things to get them back on their feet, and several of them with children of their own, so affecting so many families. I'm thankful for that. Now, you may know that we provide the Cahill Ministry Center at no cost for them, just a couple blocks from here, and we also support them with $250 a month. So is there anything you'd like to say to the church that you know supports you and prays for you?
Thank you so much, and I have one other thing. We have one minister that comes one day a week to their food pantry, and everybody that comes through has an opportunity to pray with him. He doesn't ask, it's not, do you know Jesus? It's what is the circumstance that brought you here? But through that part of this ministry, 17 people were saved in the last 3 months.
Amen. And that's what it's all about. They're not just providing physical food, but you're providing spiritual food. So I'm going to pray for you guys and thank you again for your love for this county and those in need as you serve. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Linda. Thank you for Leslie. Thank you for their heart. Thank you for their family and how much they sacrifice every week to serve the least of these in Marshall County. God, I pray for a renewed strength for each of them as they continue to do this, and really for all the older ladies that volunteer with them each week. God, I thank you that they have servants' hearts, and that is seen from the moment those folks hit the door and come in and gather food, and those ladies who are in Bible studies and in discipleship times. Lord, you're doing so much through the local ministry here in Albertville, and I thank you for Second Chance Food Pantry, Christian Women's Job Corps. God, thank you for Marshall Christian Services, the heart of these ladies, the heart of all those who volunteer. And God, your heart that is shown to so many that are in need throughout this county. So we love you, Lord, and pray for continued strength and an awesome 2018 as they continue to serve these families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all one more time for Linda and Leslie Henry. Now I'm going to ask Ms. Shirley Chupp if you'll join me up here. Some of you know the name. Ms. Shirley Chupp is kind of the one in charge, runs the homeless ministries that happen throughout Marshall County. And Room in the Inn is one of those ministries, and we're actually hosting Room in the Inn at our church tonight. So can you tell us just briefly a little bit about Room in the Inn, how many people you're currently serving during what months you serve them?
So we are cold weather shelter open from mid-November until the end of March. Last week when it was so cold, we had not only people who were without homes, but also people who had homes but were in substandard housing and could not keep their homes warm. So our highest number in the 6 years we've been doing it was last week, and we had 37 one night.
Now, let's just be honest. A lot of us have the stigma of who someone is that's characterized by a homeless person, but that really doesn't match reality. Can you speak to that for just a moment?
It does not. It's no respecter of age. It's no respecter of former socioeconomic status. No respecter of education, even. We have a lady at the shelter right now that has a college degree in psychology. We have two children, a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old in two different families. But our youngest participant ever was like 6 weeks old, and our oldest is in their 70s. We had one gentleman who stayed with us 1 year that lived in a $250,000 house the year before. But because of some bad business decisions and some things that were going on, he found himself without anything.
So really, most of America is probably one paycheck away from homelessness, if we're honest.
Statistically, more than half of America is two paychecks from homeless. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And one more thing, I know a lot of this is possible because of the meals and the housing that is provided by several churches. Can you speak to how many churches partner with you and how that all works?
We have about 35 churches that participate, between 35 and 40. Not all of those host bring folks into their homes, but they may partner and drive a van to deliver people to churches that don't have a van available, or they may bring meals to one of the other churches. So between 35 and 40 churches participate, some on a financial basis and others by actually opening up their church to bring people in.
And now this takes place from November through March, the cold months, coldest months of the year. They're all cold for this Florida boy, but tell us if somebody is in need and we know if somebody, I know you have a new day center, and tell us about that.
So our day program works out of Life Point Church this year. Registration is there daily from between 12 and 3. A candidate needs a picture ID, or if not a picture ID, at least some way to document who they are. They will need to be able to pass a background check for violent crimes and sexual offenses and drug and alcohol testing. And we do that to ensure that we're sending people out to the church that are safe for them to work with, because we want you as the church to bring your children and to come and participate in this ministry. We can affect some positive change, but your children are the ones who are going to make the long-term difference.
Amen. Well, we're going to pray for Room in the Inn and Ms. Shirley Chupp, and you continue to be in prayer for all those that they reach out to during this time of the year, especially when it's cold outside. We'll see some of those folks, some of our neighbors, as we call them, join us tonight for our event at 6 p.m. in the gym. So let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for Ms. Shirley. I thank you for her family. I thank you for her desire to see these who are going without to be cared for. And God, it really is a practical thing to see the churches gathering together and welcoming those in who just don't have a place to stay or a meal to put in their belly. God, I pray that you would continue to bless the efforts of every church that is involved, and Ms. Shirley as she organizes that. And God, help these folks in our county that find themselves homeless or in need to just feel your love through the love of these local churches and these local servants. So we love you, Lord. We thank you for Room in the Inn and all the ministry that takes place through it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Shirley. Miss Sharon Ainsworth, come on down. Most of you know Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center, and they've been around for years. A lot has been happening in the last couple years, as we talked about last year with the new center that they opened in Gunnersville. So, Miss Sharon, can you tell us, maybe give us a little brief update as to what's been happening ministry-wise the last year or so?
Well, it's been a very busy year. We've had 754 client visits this year. We've given away approximately 3,800 items to a lot of needy moms, and they're so excited to get those beautiful gifts for their babies, and many of them have never had anything new in their closet, so to have something for their babies is extra special.
And then how about maybe one quick, really exciting success story maybe you've seen in the last few months?
Well, it's an ongoing story, and it's been the last probably 8 months that we've been working with a client that we actually met in jail. We were in jail. We were there doing an adoption with one of our clients that was placing her baby, and there was another person in there that was pregnant, and she needed help. And so we, one of our counselors, Annette, went into the jail and started discipling her. And she prayed to receive Christ, and the relationship continued. And we knew that she could not go back to her home because since the age of 12, she had been prostituted for drugs. And we knew that there was nobody that she could go back home to. So we got her a place at the Love Ladies Center, and we used our baby bottle funds to get her into the center, and we continue to help her monthly. She has been discipled down there. She has a job now, and our counselor continues, Annette, continues to go down there and disciples her monthly. So it's just a life change. She feels loved. She feels that she has worth. And God has really used this crisis pregnancy for His glory.
And that's what it's all about. Amen. Amen. So if you don't know, I'm so thankful to be a part of a generous church. We give $250 a month to support them, but we also participate in the Baby Bottle Fund, and we're excited to hear how those have been used. And they will be available today. Hey, now is the time. It's already time. So if you want to grab a baby bottle on your way out, then you can fill that up and bring that back in the next few weeks, and every penny that is placed in those baby bottles will go to change lives, just like we heard about. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for real life pregnancy centers. I thank you for the heart of this sweet lady right here, Miss Sharon. And I pray that you'd give her and her volunteers renewed strength as they reach into the difficult recesses of these ladies' hearts and lives and the crisis situations many times that they find themselves in. God, would you just renew their strength? God, I pray that they would be a beacon of hope and peace in the midst of their turmoil and in the midst of their hopelessness, but that they would most importantly point that light towards you, the everlasting light. That these ladies that come to them in need, whether it's in Albertville or in Arab or in Gunnersville, God, that they would sense your presence as they counsel with these ladies, as they provide free resources to these ladies, as they love on these ladies just like you would. So God, thank you for allowing our church to be a part of a ministry like this and for allowing this ministry to be the hands and feet of Jesus and so many families. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for her and this ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more time. Thank you, Ms. Sharon.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you.
I want to thank Justin for interviewing those, and I want to ask Ty Harris to make his way up here really quickly. Ty, I'll let you sit here on this stool. Ty Harris, I have a question. Now, you are the founder of, and I'll hand you this, you are the founder of Amazon Hope. It's a ministry that has a riverboat on the Amazon River. I mean, that sounds really cool, first of all, but has a riverboat on the Amazon River, and they take teams up and down the river to different villages to partner with churches to do evangelism and discipleship and to see growth happen. So that is not your full-time job. You are an agricultural business teacher here in Marshall County or DeKalb County?
Sardis High School Ag
Sardis
teacher.
High School Ag teacher. All right. So how in the world does someone go from saying, I'm teaching ag at Sardis High School, but I think I will take on the task of starting a ministry on the Amazon River? How's that happen?
2013, I went on a mission trip to the Amazon River, and God took my heart, and I knew that's where I was supposed to be, and formed Amazon Hope with a group of men, and the cost was so high, a teacher couldn't afford to go on a trip. So what we did is we got together and purchased a boat and got the trip costs way down, and we just run trips all during the summer, all year long. The field just needs lots of laborers because there are a lot of people. Since 2015, we've had 6,000 professions of faith. We're not a number organization. We were very big on discipleship. We follow up. The way the Amazon is going to come to know Christ is through the church in the Amazon River and through Brazilians. So what we do is we try to work with Brazilian churches and carry them with us and help train them on church planting and things like that.
So you have a local church that's helping you when you move into a village to do some work.
Before we have people who find areas that may not have a church or are unchurched, and we locate a nearby city or another village that has a church, a pastor who's willing to come follow up and to do Bible studies, and we partner with them and just work on multiplication.
So with the riverboat, you house mission teams on that boat. You stay on the boat. How many people can you house on the boat?
We can house 30 Americans, and when 30 Americans go, we carry 30 Brazilians. And so we have 60 people at a time.
So it's a little bitty. It's not a little bitty boat. It's a big boat. It is a big boat. So if someone from Albertville, First Baptist, says, I want to go serve for a week on the Amazon River, do we have to take an entire team? Can they sign up? How do they sign up? How do they get involved?
AmazonHope.org. If the Amazon's on your heart, you can go as one person. We put trips together with different churches, different people all the time. Just call me. I've got brochures out. AmazonHope.org's got my number. Call me. I'd be glad to talk with you, come sit with you about what you need to do. And
do you have openings for this summer?
We have lots of openings for this summer. We got 9 trips right now during this summer. One thing I would like to say is the ministry, the boat, does not pay for itself. The way the boat is paid for is through Amazon Hope Thrift Stores, which is in Boaz, and that's how we pay for our boat. Our boat is not paid for yet.
So if people want to donate items, they can. They want to come and shop, they can. Want to make a donation, they can. I've seen the sign, seen it up, and I think you're expanding as well in the near future, so just good things happening there for that. So.
Yes, sir. God is really blessing us. You just can call. We do pickups. We're a nonprofit, so you get a tax deduction. We're a nonprofit, so you can call us. We'll come pick up your furniture, your house goods, whatever you want to get rid of, and it goes to help spread the gospel on the Amazon River.
Awesome. Well, we are pleased to have you be a part of this. It excites me that you've just taken on a task, even with a full-time profession. This is what God's laid on your heart, so it's what you're doing. And so we're thankful for that, and we're thankful that for the beautiful people of Brazil, as we've had a partnership there with Deborah Rebus for a number of years with Footprints Abroad, and there are many ministries working there, but up on that northern end there on the Amazon River, to know that there are ministries expanding and God's continuing to grow. I'm thankful for what you're doing. I'm thankful that you would give your time. I'm thankful that you obeyed the call of God and didn't just say, well, I'll find some way to give a little money, or I'll do it one more trip. But no, God called you to do something and you've done it. And so we're very, very thankful for that. So we want to pray for you, and we want to hopefully, if you would like to go, we'd love for some of you to go spend a week. Yes. One last question. What ages can go? What's normal?
Normal is high school age all the way up to, can't go no more, but.
There's no top end?
No top end. My daughters who are 12, they go. And real quick, I know every one of you have been watching River Monsters, and that's what's in your head. My girls swim in the Amazon River. The Amazon River, I've been bitten by more mosquitoes in Alabama than I ever have on the Amazon River. So.
All right, that sounds good. So that sounds like a no piranha guarantee.
No piranha guarantee.
Okay, all right, we'll take it. So if you're interested, Ty has a booth set up in the expo. You need to go see him after this morning or tonight ahead of time, or after the special night of comedy. Make sure you do. I'm excited. It sounds like a wonderful thing, and we're happy to have you here. Let me pray for you.
Here.
Father God, thank you for the ministry in Brazil. We're thankful that you are at work all around the world. I'm thankful for the creativity of this team of men that said, we will buy a boat and we will do this. We will find access this way to villages along the river. I'm so thankful for that. Father, I pray you would continue to call men and women with ingenuity, with know-how, and with desire and tenacity to do the things you've called them to do. Father, I pray you'd bless Amazon Hope. I pray you'd provide for their needs. I pray that you would continue to provide people to go, and that the gospel will penetrate lives. And Father, that it will be an incredible movement of discipleship. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, Ty, for coming. Thank you very much. Courtney Nazaire. Courtney, I'm going to quickly have Courtney come up. Courtney Nazaire is actually spent several years of her life in this church. You came through here. You say, I don't recognize her. That's because she is a beautiful young lady now and not a child as she was then. Come on in and have a seat here. Courtney was, I'll make this make sense to a lot of you who will remember better this way. This is the daughter of Usley, okay? Does that make sense? There you go. See, their light bulbs went off all over the place. So there for that. Courtney and her family moved to Pennsylvania. and which we're still praying they'll come on back. But anyway, they moved to Pennsylvania. And it was really in her college years that Courtney really gave her life to the Lord and began to follow him. And so God has pricked your heart and has spoken to you about college ministry. There are over 80 universities in the Philadelphia area. So Courtney is going to be serving with Every Nations Ministries on 3 college campuses. Tell us which colleges you'll be ministering on.
Yes, I'll be at Temple University, Drexel University, and the University of Pennsylvania.
So on these college campuses, does everyone walk around holding hands, singing Kumbaya, loving Jesus, and all that?
No.
Are there, I know there are ministries there, but I also know that lostness is vast there. And so tell me what you'll be doing when you officially, she's at the 95% goal of raising all of her funds to go, which is amazing in the short amount of time. It just shows me God's all over it because you've not been raising funds very long, but it's at 95%. She will leave here tomorrow and head to 6 weeks of training in Nashville.
Yes.
And then be headed to get started. So let me ask you this. What will be some of the things you'll be doing on these university campuses?
Yes. So our number one goal is to do discipleship. So we have Bible studies weekly, and they are led by the campus ministers as well as student leaders. We also have another weekly event that is more open to the student body in general. And so they'll discuss questions like, why does God allow suffering? Or is Christianity the only way to God? And so we'll have that as well. We have monthly worship nights as well. We do outreach on the campus, so evangelism. And we also attend a local church as well where students get involved.
So it's all about discipleship. Evangelism and discipleship, people coming to Christ. Listen, this is a valid ministry. Many of you know her family. A number of folks, several of you are already part of her support team. But she's got that 5% to go. So I just want to encourage you as someone, Lily and I are believing her ministry and are supporting. If you want to get involved in that, just see her. She has a booth set up down there. And take a minute to have a conversation and see what an incredibly sharp young lady she is. And she has a mind that is settled and loves the Lord and what she's doing. And so we need more college men and women who will be on fire for the Lord and will make disciples of the nation. So thank you for doing that. Let us pray for you. Father God, I want to pray for Courtney. I pray you'd provide the last bit of needs that she has, but I pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would go before and give her opportunity to be able to share and make disciples of men and women. Lord, I know that in the Philadelphia area, men and women come from all over the world to be educated. So, Father, I know that even what she's doing by making disciples in Philly can impact the world, as those people will go back and be leaders in their own countries. So, Father, start a movement or continue your own movement of the gospel by creating a movement in some of those universities, Father. Lord, use Courtney and her mission partners that she'll be working with. And, Father, I thank you that we can continue to see the good fruit of the gospel in the lives of people. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, Courtney. Thank you very much. Josh Moody grew up here in First Baptist Church. It's confession time. Josh, have you ever climbed into the steeple of the church? This is putting you on the spot in front of everybody.
Where is Zach Houchins?
He's in the sound room. I think the two of you did that as children. It's time to confess.
Probably so.
We're not suggesting anyone else do that.
I'm pleading the fifth.
Okay, all right. So Josh grew up here in the church. After college, moved away, got his degree from Auburn University, ended up in the mortgage business with his father in Coleman, Alabama. God called his family to leave that, move to Gulu, Uganda. Many of you have heard his story. So they're serving in Uganda now, and then you've been there now for a little over a year and a half, and what God has done in that time frame, or a little more than that. Tell us, when we first talked about what was going to happen there and then now, what's the difference the gospel is making in Gulu and Atohill?
Some of you have heard me mention this before. The first time our family visited Urbana's Hope in 2014, the war in northern Uganda, which just decimated that entire region, had been over for about 6-7 years. And the area just still reeked of hopelessness, for lack of a better term. I mean, no one would look you in the eye. I mean, it was a very dark feel. I went back about 8 months, 10 months later, and missionaries had been on the ground for a while then and were investing in the community and pouring the gospel in the community. And I came home and told my wife, I've never seen a physical transformation take place like that as a result of the gospel. And what I mean by that is the next time I went back, people were joyful. People had come to Christ. They were dancing. They were singing. They were shouting, inviting you into their homes. And so we wanted to be a part of that. And as we've been there for the last year and a half, 20 months, we just continue to see that more and more. We continue to see God take what looks like a hopeless situation and breathe life into it. And we're seeing a community prosper because of it.
Amen. Well, it has been a blessing. We've had a few people from here that have gone to serve there in different capacities. So they've seen pictures and seen what is happening there. And we're thankful to be a part of that. We're thankful to the church to support your family monthly. We believe in what's happening there. It's an incredible organization in the way they have multiple missionary families on the ground. Everyone has responsibilities. People are being discipled. They are all about gospel clarity. It's what they are about. And so we're thankful for the work there and what is happening. Josh, hey, Zach, can we stop the live stream? If you're watching by live stream, we'll be back to you in just a few moments. The live stream can go back. That's fine. Yeah. We're going to do one more family real quick and then talk a little more. We've got some special things for about 10 more minutes. Hang in here. We're going into overtime, okay? That's the good stuff. This is where it gets good. David Porch, would you mind coming this way for just a moment? And I want to speak to you for just a minute. David grew up here in Albertville, Alabama. David, it's hard for me to look at you and not just remember your nickname as a teenager.
What was that nickname, Chris?
Patio.
That's
David
it.
Porch, Patio. Do y'all get it? That's what.
Yep.
So every time I see you, I just say, hey, Patio. I don't do it, though, because you're dignified now.
Yeah.
Are you dignified? Okay. Well, David and his wife, Holly, he and his beautiful bride are, and they have three children, a one-year-old, a three-year-old, and a four-year-old. Your
That's
three-year-old
right.
and four-year-old are in our Promise Place preschool here.
They are.
And David is the associate pastor and family pastor at New Covenant Church here in Albertville. And God has called his family to leave the safety and comfort of Albertville and to move to Senegal, West Africa, to serve as missionaries among the Wolof people there, an unreached people group.
That's right.
David, I'm so thankful for your willingness. I'm so thankful that I knew you as a teenager. I'm so thankful that I have known you as a young adult and now as a godly leader. I'm thankful for what God is doing in your family. And I'm thankful that you're willing to obey, to take your one-year-old, your three-year-old, and four-year-old to a place that's a lot different than here.
Mm-hmm.
So just really quickly, how in the world did you guys come to the conclusion that you were supposed to leave Albertville and do this?
Well, we knew that we wanted to pursue international missions even before we got married, and we talked about it, but we were open to certain places, and especially since we had children, we were kind of closed off to certain places too, but God has since opened our hearts to West Africa, even though we thought that we wouldn't be able to raise children here. But a trip to Ghana last year for me with the Holloways, which you may know, Chris and Dana Holloway, really just bore it into my heart that there was such a need among the African tribes. There's so many African tribes. There's over 50 in Senegal, and the Wolof tribe is the majority tribe there. There's more than 5 million of them, and they are completely unreached. They're engaged in the sense that there's a gospel presence there, but they are not reached. There's less than 0.1% evangelical Christians among the Wolof.
And they do not have a full copy of the Bible in their language.
No, they have the New Testament, but the Old Testament for them is only 96% complete.
So you're hoping even to get in on a little bit of that with some of your missionary brothers over there who are serving as time permit. That would be awesome and incredible.
I would love
and then
to.
You're definitely going to get to help share it for the first time
yeah.
with folks there. So you have to go to language school first. So where is the greatest possibility of language school will be where?
Well, this is funny because we may wind up in Albertville, France for about 6 months or so.
Look for the fire hydrants. Look for the fire
hydrants. I will. Yeah, that would be awesome. I always do.
So there, now in France, because the language you will be learning is?
French.
Thank you. See, all right, great. Stark, you may say, why do they speak French in that area of the world? It was a French colony.
That's right.
And so they will learn French, and then you will go to Senegal to really work on learning the Wolof language mm-hmm. itself and how it connects into French. But with French, you'll be able to get by. With them there. So listen, there's a lot to pray for them. They are at the very beginning of raising support. And I don't know how to say it except just to be honest, and that is this. As your pastor, I want to encourage you to consider supporting them as an individual family. It's a daunting task to raise support to go and do what you do, but Lily and I, as we've committed and have already begun supporting them, we just view it as we get to do just a little bit of helping the gospel get to the Wolof people. And so honestly, it's not a big deal. It's giving up one meal out. Actually, it's giving up half a meal out for five people. So it's just not difficult to do. So if you would like to partner with them, your class did not get to hear from them today because we added these guys late to our conference because they hadn't officially told folks they were doing that until we were already into our process. So invite them back to your Sunday school class to speak. That's what we're going to do. Invite them to your small group. Ask them to come to your home or to go sit at a restaurant here in town. Give David 10 minutes with a cup of coffee to talk to you about what's going on and support what they're doing. Friends, I want to encourage you to do that. We've talked about this before. It was mentioned Friday night by our guest speaker, but the basic idea is this. You can't take it with you when you die, your resources, but you can send them on ahead. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I'm quite convinced that I'm helping to send it on ahead a little bit.
Thank you, brother.
And it's an honor. We love you guys. And so let's pray for them. Father, I pray for David and Holly. I pray for the three kids. Lord, I pray that you will do a miracle work and provide their resources soon. They have specific timelines that have to be met because of language school. So God, it's a God-sized task, but I know that you can do it. So burden the hearts of your people to give. Let us be a little part of that here at First Baptist. And Father, I thank you for this privilege. It is an honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. It is a misnomer to think that our missionaries are some type of super Christian. They would all tell you that they are not. They would emphatically tell you they are ordinary men and women who simply take seriously what God's called them to do. They are people who are believers who read the commands of God, who listen to the call of God and have obeyed him in spite of their fears and their feelings. And my earnest desire is that you and I would do the same. That we could read the commands of God in the scripture, that we would read the description of God in the scripture. Author and teacher Francis Chan, I was watching something, a message of his last week, and it spoke to me, and he asked people to do this. I'm going to ask you to do it. Would everyone just take a deep breath and let that out? Friends, you were only able to do that because someone allowed it. You were only able to do that because someone gave you life. That someone is the eternal, holy God. First Timothy says he alone is immortal. He is the only one who can give life. Think about for just a minute when you're going to stand before God. Just help me here for a minute. When I was thinking about this last week, it brought me to tears. I want you to think. We grossly underestimate what the moment's going to be like when we see God for the first time. We do. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has this vision. And he said, I saw heaven. And he said, I'm undone. It's like he was dying. He said, the angels were covering themselves up and were proclaiming with a shout, holy is the Lord. It's not going to be somebody playing a harp and not nice little music when we enter God's presence. It says in Isaiah, the foundation was shaking as he was entering the presence of God. That smoke filled the air as they shouted about who God was. John, the beloved, says in the book of Revelation that when he had a vision of God, he fell at his feet as though he were dead. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to see God? Revelation chapter 4 and 5, if you do the math, basically says there are millions of angels worshiping God around the throne. And it says there's lightning and thunder and fire. And Isaiah says it shakes so loud that the whole place is shaking. And that is the God that you and I will stand before someday. That is the God that we will someday close our eyes for the last time here and open our eyes in eternity. And that is the one that we will meet. And for all that I'm worth, I want today to count in case this is the last day. It is not just going to be, and it will be so exciting to be in heaven and see loved ones who have gone before. But friends, God is the center of all that we're going to see and know. And to know that we can honor him with our short little time on this earth by being obedient. I want to encourage you. Listen, please hear me say this. Do not get distracted by life. Life is so distracting. Stuff. Activities. Let's not get distracted. This is why we have this conference. We want to be a blessing to our missionaries, but we all need a good reminder that life is more than just what we do every day. That the life's about the gospel. It's easy to get down. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get distracted from eternal things. I do all the time. But I want you to be reminded that we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus. Be reminded that he is the author and finisher of our faith. And I want to speak to our missionaries for just a second, just for a minute, and we're going to be done here. As if nobody else is in the room. I know that what you do has days of discouragement. I know that your Facebook posts look great, that your video blogs, your testimonies are wonderful, and all that is true, but it's not all the story. Because there are moments of pain, there's moments of fear, there's moments of difficulty, there's moments of struggle. But here's the thing, you stay anyway. When I say this, I'm not joking, you're my hero. Because you're willing to say, I can't get this. Linda Henry, how many days have you shown up at the food pantry and had five senior adult women to have to unload all the boxes because there were no men there to help? But you keep doing it. How many of us serve year after year? Charles, I hope I don't offend you by doing this. You're 84 years old now, is that right? Correct? You've been serving from the dental clinic for how many years leading it? 17 years. You promised us one more year. I'm praying for five more, Charles, but that's another. We'll talk later. But listen, at 84 years old, he's not said, I'm done. He didn't say, I'm taking it to the house. It's hard work to do what he does. You ever tried to wrangle dentists and doctors? It's a lot of work to do what he does. And he works hard, thankful. I'm thankful. You know why? It is only one reason, because he keeps his eyes on Jesus. I can look at these. Listen, Jan and Elizabeth and Isabella, I've been to that garbage dump now three times. Well, four times, twice on one trip. So I've been four times now over the course of three trips. The first time you guys weren't there yet. And every time I've been, I'm humbled. It's not a beautiful place, but it's full of beautiful people. It doesn't smell good, but it's full of the fragrance of God. It's a difficult ministry. And you have hard days, but you stay. On and on, I'm thankful for who you are and for what you do. And so to everyone else in the room, I simply want to remind you, as Jan has reminded us so well in his small group sessions, if you've heard him say it was powerful, what is your garbage dump to go serve in? It doesn't have to be a dump, but what is your area that God's calling you to serve? If it's in the children's ministry, if it's with the crisis center, if it's with another ministry in town, if it's an apartment complex in town, we do ministry in a lot of places. If it's something on your own to start and be a part of, at-risk students and teens, if God's calling you to get up and move to help them for a season, we've got some retired folks who could go for 6 months if you wanted to. We'd be excited to send you. We would be happy to have you come back, but we'd be excited to help you. You go. Whatever God is saying to you, don't think, well, it's got to be about going. No, it's just got to be about obedience. It's just got to be about making disciples. That is our calling. Let's not forget, we will see God someday, and when we see him, it will be more awesome and holy and scary than we could ever imagine. And what a joy that will be to enter his presence and worship that holy God. There's no way to describe. There's a scripture verse that says this in Hebrews 2. We're going to stop. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. To my missionary friends, fix your eyes on Jesus. You have a hard day, don't grow weary. To my faith family, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't grow weary. He sees your suffering and he has suffered too. Fix your eyes on him.